of God. What is the mysteries of God? The gospel. The gospel. The Bible called it the mystery. Now being revealed. It's the gospel. It's the gospel, church. I want to make it clear. It's what? Come on, say it with me. It's what? It's the gospel. So God says, I want to see that you are faithful as my servant. And that if you want to serve me, then preach the gospel. Be engaged in the gospel. Let your life be about the gospel. Let everything you do, if people see you, let them identify you that you are a faithful steward of this one thing, the mysteries of God, which I have committed, what? Into your hand. The most important service we give to God is preach the gospel. Most important service anybody can give to Jesus is win a soul to Jesus Christ. Then followed now by all the things we are doing in church now to establish them in the faith so they grow. But preaching the gospel is an assignment that the Bible says you must be seen that you are faithful to that mystery of God, that you are preaching it, and not only preaching it, that you are living it. I have made a point by the grace of God that, you know, yesterday I took Uber from my house to here because I wanted to pick a sister from hospital and drop her in the house. I told Chuka to take the car. So while I went to break, and I took Uber to come back, and then finally the husband was able to come. So we did take the car, but I found out why I took it, but it wasn't because of the sister. It was that God wanted me to speak to somebody. So the driver that picked me, we started to chat. It was in this place that he gave his life to Jesus Christ right here. Right in this. I said to myself, wow, so that's why God really wanted me to take over. And because the Lord has been ministering to me that the most important thing the Christians have left behind, that is preaching the gospel. And you can find a low percentage of Christians who preach the gospel. Very low percentage. Very, very low percentage. He said, we must be found faithful of the mysteries of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very low percentage. Every opportunity you get in life is to be used of God to save another life. Every opportunity we get, when people move people your way, first thing God wants you, let them see, I want to see that you're faithful to me in this stewardship. A steward is somebody who shares something, who gives out food, gives out this. He said, I want to see that you are sharing, you are giving out the gospel. You are sharing it and giving it out to people. If I ask how many of us have ever preached to somebody since January, we've got a very low number now. But God says, I want to see that you're faithful to this thing. That I handed you something to share. I gave you something to give out. Jesus said, I came that you might have what? Life. But you too have something that will give somebody else life. The gospel. We are very, very low in doing that. We don't even make attempt. We don't even ask God. They made a law here. How can I bring the gospel in this environment? And God will show you how. And if you want to understand, now I found out why people don't understand the gospel who are Christians, because they don't preach it. If you are not preaching it, why should God give you a revelation of it? Why should you have a revelation of the mystery of God when you are not preaching it? Now I found why people don't know the gospel. And that's why we still go to the law of Moses, and we're kind of glued to the law of Moses, which produces death. So I'm not surprised that we have all these kind of things going on, 40 days fast, 20 days night, because we don't preach the gospel. So the revelation is not given to us that the gospel is the power of God unto what? Salvation. You don't need all those things. Now I see why character is not changing. Because we don't know the gospel. We don't know the power of God that saves you from all these character issues that people have. We don't know it. And if you don't know the truth, how will you be free of those things? Is it the law of Moses that will set you free? He won't set you free. It's the truth. So if you really want to be, if we really want to experience the power of the gospel, be a faithful steward of dispensing it. Be a faithful steward of what? Dispensing it. And see what will happen. Then the power of the gospel will explode in your life. I had this singular experience that when in my early years of Christianity, I was studying quite a lot. I was really, really studying quite a lot. Man, I studied. Could study till 3 a.m. Bible reading. Uche Nwobu came to my house one time. I was showing him my Bibles. I don't know if you were not there. I was showing him my Bibles. I still have 4 of them. I will read 4 Bibles at a go. I mean, I'm reading 4, and all of them are torn and old with notes all over. I said, let me show you what I was reading before this one came. And if you know how much note I make, I was showing him. I said, this is the second state. The other states I read. And then I began to realize that the most important thing for us as a Christian is to have a revelation of who Jesus is. I began to realize that a Christian can't make it except the Holy Spirit reveals to him the mysteries of God, which is Christ himself. Christ cannot be taught in a way. It cannot be taught. It has to be revealed. Because nobody knows the Son except the Father. And to whom the Father, what? We reveal him. He cannot be taught in the sense of teaching biology or teaching. It cannot be taught. It's a mystery. It has to be revealed. Jesus has to be revealed to you. The gospel is a mystery. Nobody understands that somebody died for me years ago, like my granddaughter said. He said, was I there? You can't understand it. The Holy Spirit has to come and reveal to you that wisdom of God that confounds the devils. You need your eyes to be opened. Otherwise, you'll be running to the laws of Moses all the time, not finding the glory that is in the gospel. So, about that time, as I was studying, I had people who come to me and say, teach me. I wasn't even a pastor. But I realized that if I wanted to be a Christian, I needed the Bible and I needed to study it. And so, I had somebody come to me and say, I want to come to your house. And remember now, I wasn't even teaching as such in the church. Praise the Lord. Let me go. I think if I go. I was never praying for shoes, clothes, jobs. Those things don't even come to my radar, even up to now. I'll just seek into. And in the process of that, because if you seek, you find. In the process of that, I realized that if you want to grow as a Christian, you must pray the gospel. I realized that you can be in church, even be a preacher, and still not know what the gospel is. So now some of these people that come to me and say, teach me, I know God was leading them to me because God was showing me a lot of things. My wife would tell you, I mean, up to 3 a.m., I'm awake studying. And when they leave for work, I go back. I was given to studying this thing. Why did I choose this thing? And then I came to the conclusion that one of them came. He later on became a permanent secretary, minister of aviation. Before then, he wasn't a parent. But he would come to me and be following me. We call him the best. So he'd come to me and say, I want you to teach me and my brother. So he would bring his brother after work every day and come to my house and I would teach him. And then one day, something jumped out of my spirit. And I said to him, do you want to really grow? He said, yes. I said, get out and preach the gospel. He said, really? I said, yes, stop coming here. I said, get out and do what? Preach the gospel. He says, I told him, I said, stop coming. You won't grow further. You've had enough. Go and preach the gospel. So he went. Praise the Lord. He what? He went. Because the boy really believed in me a lot. He believed that. So he really believed in me a lot. He really loved me too much. The boy loved, my wife would tell you, he loved me to pieces. Anything I said was, if I took my word, like, it has to be true. Because he really hung out with me a lot. He realized I was studying the scripture. So he went to do it. He started preaching in taxis. He would leave his vehicle and would enter a taxi to wherever. He had a vehicle, but he wouldn't drive it. He'd enter a taxi just to preach to people in the taxi. And before we knew it, he went on an assignment to the north and started preaching and preaching the gospel. By the next time I saw Brother Best, he came back and came to me. He said, I'm going to Christian Cote's church. Can we go? He said, the boy was just starting this church and he was preaching the gospel. So he was excited. So I said, okay, let's go and hear him preach the gospel. So we went. I want to show you how much he grew. He overtook me, his teacher. Because while he was out preaching the gospel, I was not. The difference was clear. I told him what to do, which I wasn't doing. So we went to, God is awesome. When God wants to show you something, he don't tell him how. So I followed him to Chris Okoti's new church. He was just starting out at that time. This boy was full of the gospel. He loved the gospel. He talked nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got in there. He didn't have a choir. If you people knew about Chris Okoti, he was a musician. So he had only an organ that had all these instruments on it. Then his sermon was storytelling. It was in his living room. And we were sitting there. He began to sing, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new. Then he will stop and tell the story about how the gospel saved his life. People will stream crying. I started, I said, wow. People will stream to come and receive Jesus with tears in their eyes. He will start singing again. I'm a new creation. Then he will start explaining the gospel. More people will come. That's all he did. And then when it was time for offering, you must not tell somebody this story. I put my hand in my pocket to bring my money for offering. The boy I was teaching nudged me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm bringing my offering. He said, where is your checkbook? I said, I didn't bring it. He said, who owns it? This is the boy I was teaching. He said, who owns the money? I said, it's God. He said, so why don't you bring his check to church so he can write how much he wants? Now, tell me if you have grown to that point. And before my eyes, he wrote $1,000. So I was going to give, I won't tell you how much. I can't tell you how much. Never will I tell you how much. So I now increase my own a little. The one that I was bringing out, I quickly pushed it inside. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, what you are giving me is that first one. This other one is sure that you are making. He said, this other one is not to me. He said, you are just trying to impress him. And it wasn't long. Best became a permanent secretary. When he came to me, he couldn't change his attire of his car. Now he became a permanent secretary and built a church in the local airport. If you're going to the local, there's a church he built. Eh? It was built by the Minister of Aviation when Muslims were the ministers. Because this boy will go for their meeting, and what he will say, the anointing on him will flabbergast all the Muslims. And they were coming to him for their personal issues. So anything he said, they start shouting. Minister of Aviation employed a pastor when Muslims were ministers to pastor that church.
God says, when a man's way pleases me, even his enemies, I will make them to be what? At peace with him. This is a boy operating in a toxic environment with the glory and power of the Holy Spirit, and nobody could resist him. He was reigning right there. Anything he wanted, they did it. Because the Bible says you shall be head. He wasn't tell nothing. He was head. I mean, I'm telling you, be faithful in preaching the gospel. You want to grow. You want to see the power of God. Preach the gospel. Then God will give you a revelation of that powerful thing called the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have a revelation of the gospel and talk of any other thing, because nothing compares in glory and power with it. Nothing under the sun anywhere compares in power and glory for mankind than what God unleashed on the cross. It's an incredible. Paul said, may God open your eyes so that you understand the mysteries of God. That God says, I'm bamboozling the powers, the principalities and what? Powers. I'm bamboozling them. They will see this and get more confused. Here is a young boy in the midst of Muslims, minister of aviation, building a church with the money from government, employing a church, a pastor, and he took me there. He said, have you seen the church? I said, no. I said, let's go there. And I went there. He said, you know what we do here? I said, no. He said, we preach the gospel. The same thing you told me. What's the preaching? Now he had influence. Now he started selling cars. Before people knew about car selling, he was importing cars. Remember when I met him, he couldn't change his tire. See what God, because he has found the way to God is through the gospel. So he encountered divine blessings. He now saw how to appropriate it for himself. And what was not working for him started what? To work for him. So it's not just preaching the gospel so that you preach the gospel to people. No. So that when you begin to know the gospel, you enter into the blessings the gospel provides you. Too. All the privileges the gospel provides you, you enter into it too. All the glory that comes to you as a Christian, the gospel provides it to you too. Praise the Lord. The power of Christ is revealed through us. But he says, I want to know that you are faithful in dispensing, steward, servants of Jesus. You are a steward of something, a steward of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me go further and talk to us. Did you get what I'm saying? Yes. Now, when we talk of faithfulness, now we kind of, because we don't understand the gospel. So the route we try to take to live the life of God is always through Moses. I've said it over and I'm going to be saying it. Anytime you are doing something to help God, you produce death. The Bible said the law produces what? Produces what? Death, said the letter, kill it. It's the Spirit that gives life. We must know the route of the Spirit and live the route of the law alone. Because all it produces in your life is death. So when you talk of faithfulness like this, which is also a part of the fruits of the Spirit, am I right? Come on now. I could stand there and say to us, you see, we are workers, let us be faithful. It has value, but not much value. It has value. So nobody should deny that. And we should do so, because we should remind ourselves the things that are our responsibilities. Paul said, I want to do good, but I find there is what? Something in me that is preventing me from it. So if you tell Paul, go and be faithful, he say, yes, I know, I want to. But I have an issue. Teach me how to deal with what? That issue. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. And that's what the church should know. That Paul said, now thanks be to God that through Christ Jesus now, what I couldn't do because of the weakness of my flesh, Christ, come on, Christ what? Did it in my life. Faithfulness is not just coming to church and coming to this kind of thing. It's part of it. Faithfulness is a lifestyle. That even in your home, even in your job, if you say to somebody, I will pray for you, the person can count on you that you will what? Pray. We can't reduce this to a rule issue where if I see you regularly in church, I say you're faithful. You may be coming to church every day, but you're not faithful. Because you may be full of lies. You may be full of pretenses. You may have developed an art to present to men a false image of yourself. Where you look good, but you may not be faithful. Faithfulness is the totality character of a man that says, if he says yes, his yes is what? Yes. So if he says, I will see you by 12, dead on target, we'll see you by 12. So it goes outside the church. It goes into everything we do. It goes into, if Sinai asks me something, I have to tell him the truth, even if it hurts me. That's faithfulness. I have to tell him the truth. Because a faithful man can be trusted to be honest. Am I right? Come on now. So you see that it's not, you can't distill the Christian life to laws. It's a life. It's a what? It's a life. I want you to say with me, it is a life. That's what Jesus brought us. Because with laws, you can deceive him. But with life, the truth really comes true. If I'm faithful, if people deal with me outside the church, they will know it. You don't have to advertise it. If people deal with me within the church, I may be late to program and still be a faithful person. Because I may be late by something beyond my control. Maybe late. But people who know me know, is it that man? Yeah, he's very faithful. Ha, he's really very, very faithful. But they didn't see him on Sunday. But that doesn't negate it. Because they know his life speaks faithfulness. Oh, they'll come and say, bro, we didn't see you. Say, ah, I woke up and I had pain. Say, hey, ah, we know you. Everybody knows you now. We know that you can't just do this. What are they saying? Your life speaks faithfulness. So when we see something that deviates a little bit, we know that this is not you. Praise the Lord. Ah, are you following me? Now, so that kind of life that is called faithfulness. Let me get myself back here. I don't want to go ahead of myself. That kind of life that is called faithfulness, or you can say long suffering, or love, all those things that are in that class of the life of the spirit, is not what a man produces. I know, it's not what you produce. If you produce it, then Jesus wouldn't come to say, I've come that you have life. And have it what? Yeah, he would have said, you have it already. It is life, faithfulness, long-suffering. All these things is what was given to us in the eternal life. We didn't have it. We didn't have the faithfulness of God. We didn't have the long-suffering of God. We didn't have the love of God. We didn't have all of these things. We say, Pastor, weren't people faithful? They were. Listen to me now. I'm not saying they were not, because God created man with some intrinsic value. They were. But listen to me. Their faithfulness was limited, because the arm of the flesh will always what? Fail. It was limited. They were faithful until pressure was put on it. When pressure is put on it, the arm of flesh will crumble immediately. So God brought the arm of the Spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, "I've overcome the world because the greater one," what? "The arm of the Spirit." This faithfulness that I'm producing now, you put pressure on it, it will crack the pressure. Jesus said, "See this rock. If you kick it, you what? If you kick it, what will happen to you? Come on, what will happen? Huh? If you kick it, what happens?" Okay. "If you kick the rock, what happens to you?" Huh? So if the rock falls on you, what happens? But the other one, you don't know. Let me tell you what Jesus is saying there. There is no force on earth anywhere that can take on what you are confronting. He said, if you want to hit it, it's strong enough to deal with you. But if it hits you, it will crush you. So the life that Jesus is produced in us, the arm of the Lord that Isaiah is talking about, the arm of the Lord, when you put pressure on it, if the pressure comes on it, it will deal with the pressure. If you force on the pressure, it will do what? Scatter it. That is the faithfulness that God is talking about. Not that when Christ didn't come, we had people who are faithful now. In the villages, people were faithful. But if you put pressure on it, you find that the arm of the flesh has limits. So when you disregard brother and sister teaching you what God taught me, when you disregard the arm of the flesh, you want to be faithful with the arm of men, the devil will put pressure on it and crush it and shame you. Because you are building on what is not the rock. See why people are struggling with issues of character? That's why people are struggling with stuff. Because they have not learned the way of faith in trusting the arm of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, when Jesus came himself, he taught us the way of the Spirit. He said, walk in the Spirit. Follow the arm of the Spirit. Depend on the Spirit. It's through the power of the free Spirit you put to death this flesh that is your problem. It's through, follow it. Depend on it. When Jesus came, he taught us how to live this life. He showed us the example how to live it. And he said to us, number one, he said, look, I'm the Son of God. But the Son can of his own do what? Nothing. So what does that teach me immediately? I can of my own what? Do nothing. Yes, I can't do anything. So don't come and tell me, Pastor Emmanuel, you need to be faithful. I can't do it. I can of my own do nothing. You have to bring in a dimension that can help me here. Are you following me? You have to teach me a dimension that is not me. The rock that is higher than I. Take me there, because, bro, you need to be faithful. You need to stop adultery, fornication. My Lord said to me, look at me, I'm your Lord. I can of my own, what? So I can't of my own, because all I have is the arm of the flesh. I can decide not to commit adultery and cry over it and leave the church under pressure, where nobody is. Because if that's what you are bringing to the table, I guarantee you the devil will smell it like a bear smells blood 100 miles. They say a bear smells blood, is it 2 miles away? We smell it. And he's coming. Ah, oh, he's coming. He's coming. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Oh, but you know, Pastor, from today, I will, this anger, no more. All right. I'll give you 48 hours. The devil will create a scene. You will be angry. And you, the one you didn't do for 48 hours, you will do arrears. Has anybody experienced that? Come on, talk to me. Am I making this up? It's called the arm of the flesh. So if you tell me, Pastor, be faithful. Jesus said, I can of my own do nothing. I can, and I can't be greater than my master. So I can of my own do nothing. Then Jesus told us, he said, there's a dimension that works in my life. Wow. Then that eases my fear. He said, there's a dimension that works in my life. He said, the life I live, the what you seek, is my Father. Is the arm of my Father. Is the finger of God. Can somebody shout hallelujah? He said, I can of my own do nothing. But that bed changes the equation. I brought a dimension that is not me. It's my Father. And he's God. He said, my Father. Come on, everybody say, my Father. He said, my Father. He said, my Father doeth this thing. So now if I'm faithful, it's my Father. Yeah, because it's my Father, my faithfulness will never fail. And so I live by faith in my Father. I trust my Father. So he brought the dimension of faith. That God said, without that dimension of faith, you can't please me. You can't produce faithfulness. You can't produce this. It's not possible. It's impossible. Because you have to trust this spirit, the wrath of faith. That's the New Testament, the wrath of faith. I told you to tape this thing. Hey, microphone, are you taping it? Because I want people to go and listen to this. God taught me this. And so, when you come to scripture, you find it play out. In Acts chapter 10, 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Really? Yeah. So what is this, that anointing? It's the arm of the Spirit working in the life of Jesus. He said, because of that arm of the Spirit working in the life of Jesus, he went about doing good. That doing good was because of that anointing of God, because of that power of God, because of that arm of the Father, that he says, what you see, my Father doeth all these things. Then not only was he going about doing good, he was able now to what? Heal. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You say, how come that Jesus was able to have the arm of the Father? Maybe because he obeyed the Father, or he didn't start there. What made the Father's arm be with him was because he trusted the Father. The same pattern he lived is the pattern he gave to the church. It was because he trusted what? And his enemies said that on the cross, he trusted in God. That was all. Somebody shout hallelujah. He did what? He trusted in God. Everybody say that with me. He, from beginning to the end, even in the grave, he said, when he was there, he said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. He trusted in God. The Father. Remember now, without faith, it will be impossible to do good. So, we're still talking of faithfulness. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. So, the start of all of these things is that this is the man that doesn't have the new life. And he's a good man. He's a good man. Until pressure comes, so the arm of flesh first him. And then he says, I can't do this thing. So I need help. And he goes to Jesus. And accepts life. Somebody shout hallelujah. He accepts what?
Life.
That is in Christ. What is that life that is in Christ? It's called eternal life. When he accepts it, Jesus takes this old one that couldn't help him, deals with it, and gives him a new life, which is entirely his life. Now, when Jesus changed him from the old one, the old man, and gave him a new nature that is faithful, that is, has long suffering, that has all the attributes of God in it. Do you think that the life of God is short of any attribute of God? Eh? Come on now. What did you receive? The life that was in Christ. So when God gave me that life that was in Christ, that was the beginning, church, of the work of the arm of the Spirit in my life. He that started the what? The good work has started. The same good work that Jesus did. Because the same Spirit that made him do that is now working him to will and to do his what? Good pleasure. Follow me closely. So the arm of the Spirit has started to work. Because he said, this circumcision is not by the hand of men. It is by the hand of the Spirit. This change, this thing that has happened, it's by the hand of the Spirit. That's what God did. And now, if I want to follow Jesus, his step, all I need to do is to trust the arm of the Spirit. Because what makes the arm of the Spirit to work is that I trust what? In it. So now, talk of faithfulness, brethren. I am not going to try to produce faithfulness. Because faithfulness is already, come on, it's already, if I want it to work outside, I will trust the only dimension in my life that can make it work and keep it steady. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. And that is the hand of the Lord Jesus. So if I want to talk of faithfulness, listen to me, please. I will wake up in the morning and say to the Lord, I recognize your hand. Where? Come on. Where? It started the day I came to you. You made me faithful. You created me a new man. You gave me a new nature. That nature includes what? Faithfulness. I don't know how many of you are following me. Come on now. How many of you are following me? If you are following me, let me see your hand up. That nature includes what? That's the arm of the Spirit. The dimension that made all the difference in my life is that which God is doing through Christ. Now I have faithfulness, long-suffering, and all these things are there. And I thank God every day for them. The more I thank God for them, the more I see the manifestation. The more I thank God for them, church, the more I see what? The more I thank God for them, the more I see what? Manifestation. Now, pressure comes on it. On what is that pressure going to be? On the hand of the Spirit. Jesus said, I have what? Overcome. So if it comes, I've dealt with it. I'll deal with it what? Again. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you are following me. Did I leave you here? Is anybody behind? I want you to think. Now listen, if you are not getting it here, let me know. Because this is where the transition takes place. Remember now, without that trust and faith, it is impossible to please God. Can't produce it. But as long as you trust God, as long as you rely on him, you will never be put to shame. He will keep producing it. Is your faith perfect? No. And that's what causes those hiccups. Because your faith is growing. Sometimes you switch over to this other one and it fails you again. But you go back to this other one. Stresses you again. You are growing in trusting. Growing in trusting. Growing in trusting. Growing in trusting. And before long, that nature becomes your physical nature too. Without thinking, you see it working. That's called growth in the spirit. You are growing in depending on the spirit and walking under the influence of his anointing 24/7. It's part of guidance of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will guide you into this truth so that you know how to rely on him. Come rain, come sunshine. And let me show you two people in the scripture. And I give you one example and I'm done. You need to go to God and say, open my what? If you don't, not only will you be struggling with character, you'll be struggling with other things that the devil throws into your life. Because there's still this arm of the spirit that will deal with all of them. If you want to have peace, he said, I will keep you. I'm the one. If you want me to keep you in peace, look, your mind must stay what? On me. Stay on me. Come on, stay on me. Just stay on me. I'll keep you in perfect peace. If you don't, you have anxiety, you have problems. And what is your mind staying on him? Stay in faith in me. I keep him perfect. You see what I'm doing. Where people are not seeing anything, I will reveal it what? To you. I'm doing something. You can jump into a chaos. What is chaos? Huh? A club of people call it chaos. Jump into a chaos. And when you jump, listen to me, brethren, I mean what I'm telling you. When you jump into that chaos, the spirit of God that you've learned to walk with him, before I even get there, we show you what God is doing and what others are not seeing. So when others say there is a casting down, you say, no, that's a... Why? You've learned to be faithful in trusting him. And even in that thing, when people can't sing, you are singing. You've seen it ahead of time because he's revealed things to you that the eyes has not seen. So when somebody comes to you in the family and said, this your son is going to be sick, the Lord said no. You laugh. They say, why I laugh? He said, don't worry about it. That's what we sing. You may never understand it, but it's a miracle. That thing is powerful revelation. You may never what? Understand it. But it's a... Let me show you two people. Are you following me up to this point? Huh? Yeah. I remember somebody came to our church, was sharing with us how he was dealing with masturbation, masturbation, masturbation. He tried all he could, fasted, prayed, nothing stopped. Until he came into revelation of the truth. That he has a new nature that doesn't masturbate. He said, that's all. I don't know if you were there. You were there, right? He said, there came into revelation. Of, I think it was one of the pastors that was sharing. He said, I just came into this revelation that, that God changed this one that masturbates. I have a new nature that doesn't masturbate. He said, the thing stopped like fire. The arm of the spirit came into force and crushed this one. Which is what the scripture says. By the power of the spirit, you put to death the works of what? The flesh. What he said. All this while. All this while. He was there all this while. But he was not listening. And I had this testimony from two people in church. So here comes our brother Peter. Have you met Peter before? I will introduce Peter to you. Get ready to meet him. Here comes our big brother Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, hey, you've been too self-confident lately. Been trusting in how good you are and everything. And then he said, listen, the devil has now obtained permission to what? Sift you, because he's seen that you are relying on yourself. You are attracting him. He has smelled blood. He's coming after you. And Peter revealed what Jesus was saying. He says, sir, you don't know what you're talking about. So let me tell you about Peter, just in case you don't understand. I've been a disciple for a long time, okay? I've been a Christian 18 years, sir. And even if everybody denies you, I will not deny you. And Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't say that, but that was the exact reason that the devil targeted him. That was the exact motivation, because the devil knew he was a mincemeat. What he was relying on is the arm. Now, if you pull prey, listen to me. This half eye goes. Now, they came and got Jesus. And Peter drew his sword. There are good people. They have Jesus. Yeah, they'll go this far. They can draw their sword. And then they up the ante. And everything crumbles. So Peter drew his sword and went to battle. And said, no, not until this man puts me in as prime minister. Nobody is taking this kingdom from us. So he went to battle and caught somebody's ear. If that man didn't dodge, his neck was gone. So he cut off it. And Jesus right there did the miracle again. And brethren, please follow me. This was Peter. And this is how we think we can live the life of God without faith. Oh God, I will never tell this lie again. You're talking like Peter. You're just following Peter. And the devil hears it, says, oh, this is another mincemeat. I'm coming after him. Because what he's relying on is nothing to me. I'll kick it to shreds. Jesus said, Peter, they are coming to tear you to what? Shreds. Because what you have cannot handle it. And Peter foolishly exposed it the more. Say, I'm ready to even die. Now he pulls his sword. Bam! Watching him, he say, wow! And immediately, they grab Jesus away. Peter got his property. And not only him, all of them, they fled. They didn't walk away. Peter did not walk away. He ran. What was he running? For dear life. That comes the end of our flesh, all our determination, all that we can do. The Bible says, vain is the help of man. Comes the end of all of that. Goodwill, yeah. Good intention, yeah. It's not enough. It's not enough. Oh, I cried in church. It's not enough. Yeah. It's not enough. Because except the Lord builds that house, I'm wasting your time. Now we saw Peter again. Brethren, follow me. They took Jesus and Peter found his way there. And the Bible says he was following from a distance now. This is our brother who said, I will die with you. They put the pressure now. The thing cracked. Thing cracked. Totally cracked. He was now a distant follower. And you know, that's the process of backsliding. You were before in church, zing, jim, jim. And now you are distant follower. The next thing you deny. And then a little girl said, sir, you speak like this man called Jesus. He said, if you mention his name here. Did you see the deterioration how it went? Did you see the deterioration how it went? And that's what the church is still doing today. Because we don't know the power of God called the gospel that makes all the difference. The dimension that introduces the hand of God is the gospel. That's what brought Jesus into your life and made all the difference. And we sing it because he lives. I can face what? Tomorrow. And he said to us, don't make your boast in yourself. Make your boast in me. Now, that's Peter. Now, there comes our brother Paul. Anybody met Paul? I will introduce Paul to all of us. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Are you following me? Here comes Brother Paul. Brother Paul comes a latecomer. He didn't see Jesus physically. He had visions. And then here comes our brother who had a revelation of the gospel. Preached it more than Peter. The more he was preaching the thing, the more God was revealing to the thing, the more he was preaching, he went everywhere. He said, woe is me if I preach not what? The gospel. He said, a necessity is laid on me. People must hear this thing. The more he was preaching it, the more God was opening his eyes. The more God was, because he was bearing fruit and more was being given to him. until he had abundance of revelation. And then he realized, wait a minute. Now remember that Peter said that what Paul is teaching is hard for us to understand. So he didn't have the same revelation with Peter. Paul. No. He didn't. So now, the difference was Paul had tremendous revelation of Jesus Christ and the gospel. That was the difference. Now, here comes Brother Paul. He says, if any man is in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Oh, it is. He said, I used to evaluate life after the natural bit, not anymore. I have a revelation now that I'm a new creature. All things have what? Passed. He said, I'm dead. He said, the life I now live, he said, I am completely what? Dead. He said, I live life based on faith. And you see, the dimension that introduces the hand of God is trusting in God. That's how you got saved now. That's how the dimension came and you got saved. Faith in Christ. And so, brethren, watch this. Paul said, it's not Paul that liveth. I want to ask you a question. What does a dead man do? Come on. Eh? What does a dead man do? What can you attribute to a dead man? I said, brethren, this thing that happened in this village, this man was the man that moved the table. A dead man. What Paul is saying is, I've come to the end of myself. I can of my own do what? The same statement Jesus said. He said, I follow Christ. The same thing Jesus said. I can of my own do. So he said, the life I live now, I live by total dependence on the Son of God who loved me and died for me. How many of you are sleeping? If you are sleeping, praise the Lord. Okay, now the pressure comes on him. Pressure comes. Because pressure will come. Jesus said, temptations will come. Trials will come. He said, temptations to sin will come. It will come. Now, it came on him. What did we hear this brother say? It is no longer I that live it, but. So the pressure was put on Christ, who was his burden bearer. He has taken away his head and said, not me, Lord, I can't. The Lord said, okay, you made space for me. Let me get it. So when the pressure was put on him, guess who got it? The one that said, put your burdens, what? Because I care about it. So when it came on him, let's hear Paul, what he said. Uh-oh. Okay. I thought it's four minutes past. This is time remaining, right? Yeah. Let's see what Paul said. Acts 20:22. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me. But no matter what awaits me, verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. Verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing of the works assigned by me to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of what? You see what he committed his life. And because of that, and now, no, this I don't want to go to, down to this. Now you see, because he committed his life to this preaching of the gospel, when the pressure came, because he's had an abundance of revelation, he said, none of these things what? They don't move me now. They don't move me now. Because it's no longer I that live it. If it's me, it can move me. But now it's Christ that liveth in me. He has anchored his faith in the immovable rock, and they can't deal with it. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to what? Be faithful. Impossible. For what the flesh could be, what you could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, God sent his son to bring the dimension of the power of God to make it possible in your life. You want to live this life successfully? The just shall live. If you deviate from that, you are in trouble. For without faith, it is impossible to be faithful. You can be a good man and be faithful. When pressure comes, your faithfulness will what? Scatter. Especially when nobody sees. But faithfulness is an offshoot of what the Holy Spirit does. And if you want to see it and you grow in it, you have to keep trusting the finished work of Calvary. And the Lord will manifest it in your life. If you understood me, shout hallelujah. I want us to rise up. I want you to begin to thank the Lord for the arm of the Spirit that was introduced into your life when you came to Christ. That's why Paul said to Corinthians, don't you people know now you are the house of the Holy Spirit? The arm of the Spirit has been introduced in your life. Don't you people understand? Why are you committing fornication? Don't you understand? Can't you understand that? There's a dimension that can deal with this thing that's now coming to your life. You are the house of the Holy Spirit. Don't you understand? Can't you remember that? That a dimension has come in.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.